Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here again with you today, and we're so glad that you joined us on the program. It's been just a great season with the Lord, just spending time with you guys each and every morning at 7:30 a.m. on 91.5 FM, and you can always go back and catch any programs that you missed, or if you just want to follow us on our website at ourlighthouse.net. You can do that as well, and that's the church website for Lighthouse Christian Church here in Merritt Island at 1250 North Banana River Drive. And, you know, I always just want to take a moment every now and then. I don't do this too often, but I want to invite you maybe to join us for a church service. We have 8:30 and 10:30 services every Sunday here at the church. And, you know, we've got our bulletin available to you online as well. You can call the church office and get that emailed or texted to your phone, and it has all the different programs. I couldn't even begin to describe all the things that are happening here at the church every day throughout the week, but a couple of big ones are we've got Bible College on Thursday nights. It's from 6:30 to 8. You can just come out and just learn all about the Word of God. We're studying faith and some other things right now, but it's all practical application stuff. But come on out and avail yourself to the resources of Lighthouse. We always like to do the program with a special guest, and I've got my special guest with me today. It's Patty Wilson, longtime friend and just powerhouse in the Lord. Patty, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you. And, you know, I always like to let the co-host bring the topic, and you were hitting me up with a couple ideas and things, and you came up with the idea of the Damascus Road. You want to talk about the Damascus Road, and some people may not know what that is, but it's the account of Paul's conversion in the book of Acts, and let's just talk about it a little bit today. Patty, why don't you open us up?
Yes. Well, I picked this one mainly because I've had some people that have said to me lately, well, God did that for you, you know, and they look at your accomplishments, they look at your works, what you've done for the Lord, and they're like, he could never use me. I've done this, and they'll give me their whole laundry list of dirty laundry, all the things that they've done in the past, and they disqualify themselves, and they don't realize that it's not about what we've done, but it's about what Christ has done.
Right.
That we do anything in the first place. We can do nothing in and of ourselves to bring glory and honor to God. It's all him.
Sure.
And so in the Damascus Road story, we see where Paul, who was called Saul, had a Damascus Road experience, and God shows up in his life in a mighty way. But before Jesus shows up in his life,
he wasn't too good a dude, was he?
Oh, boy, he was a bad person.
Yeah.
He was persecuting, killing Christians, and loved doing it.
Yeah.
He wasn't ashamed of what he was doing at all.
Right. And he thought he was doing God a service.
Exactly.
Because he thought this was a false religion or something crazy that was rising up, but little did he know God was actually moving on the scene.
That's right. Yeah. And a lot of people were fearful of him.
Sure.
You know, he came into town, people would run.
He had a legal right to kill you.
Sure he did. Yeah. So he was a scary dude. And so if you look in Acts chapter 9, you'll find that story. And I'm going to read some of it just to kind of lay the foundation here, because what I want us to see is that God takes the unlovely. And just like most of us before we come to God, we're unlovely.
Oh, yeah.
We're a mess.
I was.
Yeah. And so was one of his greatest disciples. Teaches us the most, I believe. Acts chapter 9.
Right.
Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats every breath. And remember, Saul is Paul. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was nearing Damascus on his mission, a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you are to do."
Yep.
And then, let me see, I'm going to skip down. So anyway, to make a long story short, let's go down to A.S. Saul picked himself up from the ground. He found that he was blind. So
right.
The Lord actually blinded him with
wow.
that bright light. So he couldn't see anything at all. Can you imagine his fear for a change?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden
for
this
sure.
voice comes to him. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days. And all that time, he went without food and water. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard about the terrible things that were done to the believers in Jerusalem." So he's saying, Lord, he's telling God, "Lord, you know who this guy is. You know what
sure.
this guy is. You want me to go to him? You want me to go see him?"
Right.
And the Lord's like, "Yeah." But the Lord said, "Go and do what I say." So when God asks us to do something, it doesn't always make sense. Actually, when he asks us to go to people that we don't particularly like or care
sure.
for, we're like, "Lord, I don't think so." You know, I remember a few months back, I shared the story about that lady when God asked me to go clean her house. You know, I was kind of doing the same thing, like, "Lord, have you seen her?
Right.
You want me to go over there and knock on her door?"
Right.
And, you know, I was afraid she's going to put my lights out, but he said, "Go."
Yeah, right.
Go. When he says go, just go, because he has a reason and he's got your back. "For Saul is my chosen instrument." So this is a guy who's killing, putting Christians in chains, persecuting them, and God's telling him, "I've chosen him." That boggles your mind, doesn't it?
Sure, it does.
It's like, that's crazy. And so God's chosen him as an instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me. So Ananias went out, found Saul, laid his hands on him, and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to you that you may get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food, and he was strengthened.
That's an amazing story.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
And we all, well, not all of us, but most of us have had some sort of Damascus Road experience, I think, where God
sure.
just shows up in our life. Most of us, it's when we get saved as well. God shows us that he's real.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. He loves us, and he's got a purpose
so
and a plan for our lives, each
you know,
one
in
of us.
Verse 20, it says, "And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think what we're looking at here is a legitimate conversion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody meets the Lord. Now, I'm kind of jealous. I met the Lord pretty powerfully, you know, I mean, somebody had shared the baptism of the Holy Spirit with me, just like, you know, Saul got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the power of God hit me, and it knocked me to the ground. Demons came out of me, the whole deal. And a lot of other people are like, well, I just asked Jesus in my heart in a church service, you know, and
man, I
wish I had your testimony. But, you know, there's a test with every testimony. And Paul, who was Saul, had gone through some serious, you know, trials and tests. You know, he had to deal with the fact that he was killing Christians and now he finds out he was wrong. You know, there's some condemnation that can come with that.
Sure.
And you're dealing with that stuff. But, you know, this experience, you know, the first thing I'm like looking at when I look at this experience is Jesus looks at, you know, Saul and he goes, why are you persecuting me? You know, I think he was looking at him and he's going, you're a zealot of the scriptures. You of all people should have been able to see me in the scriptures and you should have been able to see my coming and who I am and who I was.
Wow.
And in the word of God, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a well-trained religious person. And I think that's one of Jesus' biggest frustrations is that religion is actually hiding him from people. Mm. You know, many of us are out there and we've become religious. We become these zealots for the Lord and, you know, we're missing Jesus in all of it. And he's actually, you know, he had to blind him so that he would stop seeing what he was normally seeing.
Yeah.
And that then God could actually get to him and change him and make a conversion happen in him. And then he was given his sight back. And a lot of times we need to stop what we're looking at, Patty. Mm-hmm. We need to stop, you know, all the different things that are coming at us in our lives and our visuals and all the things that we think we know and we think we've got figured out. Sometimes we need to stop and allow God to speak to us and redirect us.
Yeah.
You know, because I see a man that really was after God in his life, but he was after God religiously, not after the actual presence of God and the Spirit of God in his life. He missed it.
He did, yeah.
And I think we can miss it too. We've got to be very careful in our religion, in our religious moments that we have in our lives towards the lost people of the world, you know, because they're the next Saul with the purpose. He says, I've appeared unto you for this purpose, you know, to make you a minister and a witness. And, you know, it's just powerful what God's wanting to do with the world that we're condemning because they don't know Jesus.
Right.
Let me say it that way.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
Every person in the world is ready to have a Damascus Road experience with the Lord. But we've got to be willing to be Jesus in those moments and allow Christ in us, the hope of glory, to speak to them through us, not through our condemnation and our, you know what, we're going to beat you over the head with our Bibles because you're a no good, down and dirty, lousy, you know, sinner.
Exactly.
When we were the same thing, Paul was sinning in a religious fashion. You know what I mean?
Yep, that's good.
He was a religious sinner. And he needed Jesus just like we need Jesus in our life. But that addict could be the next Billy Graham.
That's right.
We don't know what people are capable of once. I mean, Paul wrote, you know, a good portion of the New Testament after he was converted.
Isn't that awesome?
Because he knew the word. He knew. He was studied. He was that type of person. But what do we not know about people that are coming to Jesus and we judge them? We've got to be so careful in the way that we're living our lives because every person is a potential Damascus Road experience with the Lord.
Man, that is so good. And think about after you've received the Lord. Once you become a Christian, those people that you judged for their sin or their gossip or who knows whatever it is, but all of a sudden your heart is filled with love when you receive Jesus. And you have a grace for those people that you never had before. And you see that with Paul too. It's like he, instead of persecuting and hating these people, now he loves them.
Yeah.
And he wants to reach them with the good news. He wants to tell them about Jesus. And it's amazing. I know that in my heart, I had no grace for people.
None.
You know, none whatsoever.
Very impatient, very judgmental.
Yeah.
unforgiving. We've all been there.
Yeah, look what they did. So talk to the hand. Don't even talk to me. Don't even come around.
Yeah, you're not
me.
Kidding.
And then all of a sudden, you see them through a different light. You know, your eyes are open. Your scales have fallen from your eyes, and your eyes are open. And now you see through the love of Christ and the grace of God.
Yeah.
And let's see. So if you go down to verse 26, it says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They thought he
with good reason.
Pretending to be a believer. You're just lying.
He's trying to expose them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then he's going to trap them.
Yeah.
And then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus. Barnabas also told them what the Lord had said to Saul and how he boldly preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. Then the apostles accepted Saul, and after that he was constantly with them in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. You've got a guy, Saul, so I'm always confused trying to talk about him at this point. Because do you call him Saul or do you call him Paul? But the bottom line is this: new life was birthed in Saul and transforming him into Paul.
Isn't that amazing?
And the apostle to the nations, he became an apostle to the Gentiles, to the nations, to kings, to, you know, the world.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that happened because new life was birthed in him through an encounter with Jesus. So new life is our what's the word I'm looking for? New life is our delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Our
mm-hmm.
goal is to bring new life to those who don't know Jesus in the world.
That's right.
As the church, as the believers of God, as the ambassadors for the King, our goal is to bring new life to those who are around us. And in doing that, the Damascus Road experience happens in their lives, just like it happened in mine, just like it happened in yours. We've all got a testimony,
mm-hmm.
but the testimonies are for because we had a test
exactly.
before we had a testimony. And people are out there, and they're being tested by the world.
Amen. Amen.
You know, they are.
And go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, they're being tested by the world, mm-hmm. and they're many of them are failing. They're getting Fs,
maybe
D minuses
mm-hmm.
on the tests of life, but because what they really truly need is Jesus
Amen.
In their life. Without him, we can do nothing. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory in the world, in the hope that the world could be changed from the power of Satan to God, and that people's lives can be transferred into the kingdom of light
mm-hmm.
from darkness. So that's what happened to Paul. He was walking in the dark, and then Jesus came and turned the light on. It was so bright it blinded him at first, but then
awesome.
God lifted the scales off of his eyes, you know, because before he knew Jesus, when I kind of look at it this way. Blinders had to be put on his eyes when he was looking at God in his holiness because he wasn't a Christian yet.
Mm.
So he couldn't walk in the presence of God. He couldn't see God, so God blinded him. And then now God, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, lifted the blinders off of his eyes. And now he got full revelation of
yes.
who Jesus was. And we do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking blind in the world, you know, and we've been blinded to be able to see God in his righteousness. But when we see him, you know, the scales will fall off of our eyes, and we'll begin to see God for who he really is in our life.
Man, and I know there's even scripture that talks about praying that the eyes of their understanding in
yes.
Ephesians would be enlightened. And I pray that all the time for unbelievers, people I'm praying for. Lord, open their eyes of understanding, enlighten them, you know, remove
yeah.
those scales from their eyes.
So good.
Yeah, because we all had them, and we can pray that way. And I was thinking when you were talking earlier, it was a statement, Darlene Bishop, I think it was, that I first heard it from. And she says, it's not your credentials that make you somebody in Christ.
Right.
You know, it's your testimony. And we see that with Paul. You know, it wasn't, you know, I'm this, and he even shares that in other scriptures where, you know, well, I'm the Pharisees of Pharisees, like you said, you know, he was a scholar and all of that. But that made him nothing.
Right.
But feared. But when he came to Christ, you know, then all of a sudden it was his testimony. that brought other believers in. You know,
that helped other people cross that barrier of actually believing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God does that for us. I think of Al's family. He had one.
And that's her husband.
Yeah. One sister in particular. Very religious spirit mm-hmm. over her, brought up in a Catholic religion and,
right.
you know, very legalistic, very judgmental. And I shared the gospel with her and stuff. And she, after that moment, she had it in for me. I mean, she guns blazing,
right.
the sweetest pie to my face, but behind my back, she was talking about me all the time. And so when we would go to her house on vacation or any other members of the family, I started to notice that every time I came into the room, all the women and kids would get up and leave and go to the next room. And at first couple times it happened, I thought, nah. You know, it must just be,
they're
just moving
just
around.
Fluke.
Well, the last time it was very blatant. I mean, it was so blatant. Every time I walked in the room, everybody just immediately got up and left. And of course, I was crushed and I saw what was going on. I told my husband, he was like, yeah, you're crazy. And I said, you watch. And so he began to watch. And sure enough, that's what was going on. So I was being persecuted because of being a believer, but I decided, you know, I'm just going to walk in love. I'm just going to be gracious and I'm going to be kind. And I did that. And when we got back from that last vacation that was so bad, I got a phone call and it was one of my nephews that I hadn't seen in years. He wasn't there on that vacation. And he said, Aunt Patty, he said, I just wanted to let you know. He said, did anybody tell you about what happened to me when you're on vacation? I said, no. And he said, Aunt Patty, I got saved. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that it should have been you I was sitting with and not getting up and leaving the room every time you came in.
Yeah,
and
right.
And it was like, well.
That's so good.
But I continued to pray for him.
Yeah.
You know, every time I'd pray for those kids, I'd pray for them. And now almost all of them are saved.
So he had his own Damascus Road experience.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Yep. That's so good, man. Hey, guys, we hope you're enjoying the program today. It's the Damascus Road experience. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Joyful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joyful. Today, today.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is a place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am.
Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, it's Pastor Kevin Radlin here with you today from Lighthouse Christian Church, and Patty Wilson's here with me.
Hello.
Longtime friend. Patty, you've been such a great inspiration to me over the years. We've done so many different types of programs and ministry and just together, and, you know, we've just seen God do miraculous things. And we've been talking about this Damascus Road experience that Paul had, but I believe everybody, you know, needs to have a Damascus Road experience.
Yeah, throughout Paul's ministry, the Spirit spoke to him, the Spirit led him, used him for salvation, healing, deliverance for scores of people. And he instructs us to follow his example. Paul was continuously spoken to, led, and directed by the Holy Spirit in all that he said, wrote, and did. His life emphasizes a Spirit-led life. Such a life has no thought for tomorrow's trials, because now is the time God's acting by his Spirit to save, heal, and deliver us. What is your Damascus Road experience? Do you need a Damascus Road experience?
Right. I love that you said now is the time. You know, I think a lot of people with the things that are going on in the world today are looking and they're like, is this it? Is revelation happening? Is the world changing? Is Jesus coming back? And the answer is maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He might be. Uh-huh. So are you ready? Have you had that Damascus Road experience in your life? You need to get to a place where you are filled with the Holy Spirit, where you are walking in the power of God, and the anointing is in your life to
yes.
lead others mm-hmm. to their Damascus Road experiences so that they can see true conversion in their lives. I think that this is a season of revival, and all of that is going to be based around the power of the Holy Spirit and the church rising mm-hmm. up and being who God's called them to be. We've got to have the same experience that
That's
Paul
right.
had, so that we can be the next, you know, group of people that are ushering in the power and the presence of God in
yes.
our life.
Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. This is
yeah.
the time. This is the season. And get ready.
Yeah.
We
Open your Bibles.
Ready.
Get back
yeah.
to church. Plug in. Get your kids in a good kids ministry
yes.
if you're out there. Don't leave your kids out there without any background or spiritual, you know, growth in their lives, man. They need Jesus. They really do. And God loves you guys. He loves your kids. He loves you. He loves your family. He loves everybody around you. So share the love of Jesus with somebody today
yes.
and let them have a Damascus Road experience.
Mm,
have a good day, man.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.